Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Fifth Grade Strings returns. Ector County ISD's fifth grade string program is coming back. It went away when sixth grade was moving to middle school. Fine Arts Director Aaron Hawley said secondary teachers are helping out at the elementary level. We are just using the resources that we have at our disposal. If the programs grow extensively, then we'll have to look at additional staffing, Hawley said. Their program right now impacts 150 to 175 students, but those numbers are changing a little bit, Fine Arts Coordinator Sherry Riley said. Schools that have the program right now are Reagan, Jordan, Dowling, LBJ, Noel, and San Jacinto Elementary Schools. Riley said they hope to start the program at Gonzales Elementary and Hayes STEAM Academy in the spring. When the new schools are added, anywhere from 12 to 15 fifth grade students could be added per school. Riley added that the parents have to be involved in the process. Some parents have rented or even purchased instruments for their student. But that's not always the case. We're going to make a very special thank you to the Ray Charitable Trust that provided $35,000 for us to purchase school-owned instruments for the students, and then the school district was able to match that. The goal is that every student be able to participate regardless of their parents' financial ability to support that ability to purchase an instrument, Hawley said. Riley noted that the district provides the larger instruments even up to high school, such as basses. Milam Magnet Elementary has the Suzuki Strings program. These fifth graders have had 5 years of basic skills with their campus music teachers and six if they were in pre-kindergarten, Riley said. They are ready to start an instrument and transfer the skills and concepts that they've learned in general music into a performance-based class, she added. Riley said they are adding campuses, some as soon as the next semester. It's been a challenge for us to acquire instruments, especially for elementary students, because they are not playing the same size instruments that the high school and middle school kids are playing. Younger kids have to play a smaller instrument in order to learn, Riley said. The goal is to implement the program at all elementary campuses that have fifth graders over the next 3 years. Riley said this is so students have the chance to participate in strings and orchestra. Hawley said it gives students a sample of what it will be like in sixth grade. He added that the district has sought ways to help students with a transition between fifth and sixth grade. He added that the students will see teachers form the secondary level, so when they transition to the upper grades, they'll be able to put a name with a face. It's not in every case, but they'll have that familiar experience. It's a win-win for the secondary people because even if they choose to do a different music elective in middle school, that year of participation in orchestra is great preparation even for band because they're reading music, they're holding an instrument. It'll just be a win-win all around, Riley said. Hawley said they want to allow students to learn an instrument as early as possible with their peers across the state. The interest is definitely there, especially with students and parents. They are so excited to be on board, to be involved with something new. The students, with the exception of one campus, who has a little bit of a different schedule, are still attending their regular music class. Strings is an addition to the music they're getting during their regular music class. It is not in place of, Riley said. According to a Scientific American article from 2010, studies have shown that assiduous instrument training from an early age can help the brain to process sounds better, making it easier to stay focused when absorbing other subjects from literature or tensor calculus. Discerning subtleties in pitch and timing can also help children or adults in learning a new language, the article says. Local news roundup. Hunters reminded to report harvest during antlerless season. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Department wants to remind hunters to report their harvest during the upcoming antlerless deer season, November 24th through 27th. Mandatory reporting is required for any antlerless deer harvested during the four-day doe season, along with any antlerless deer harvested during the archery, youth-only, and muzzle-loader seasons. Within 24 hours of harvest, hunters in the 21 counties listed below must report their harvest to TPWD using either the free My Texas Hunt Harvest mobile app for iOS and Android or on the My Texas Hunt Harvest webpage. Counties required to report their harvest include Austin, Bastrop, Caldwell, Colorado, Comal, east of I-35, DeWitt, Fayette, Goliad, north of US 59, Gonzales, Guadalupe, Hayes, east of I-35, Jackson, north of US 59, Carnes, Lavaca, Lee, Travis, east of I-35, Victoria, north of US 59, Waller, Washington, Wharton, north of US 59, and Wilson. Additionally, for the four counties that remain dedicated to archery-only hunting, Dallas, Grayson, Rockwall, and Collins, hunters are now required to report all white-tailed deer harvests within 24 hours through the My Harvest Hunt app during all white-tailed deer seasons. Accurate reporting allows agency wildlife biologists to properly study hunting impacts on local herds and develop more hunting opportunities. For more information about hunting regulations, methods, and seasons, consult the 2022-23 Outdoor Annual. Hunters can download the Outdoor Annual free on iOS and Android. Synergy to show movies with Spanish subtitles. In recognition and support of the robust Latino and Hispanic communities in Odessa and its surrounding towns, Synergy Dine-In Cinemas has expanded its Spanish-subtitled movie showings. Below is the expanded schedule for upcoming Spanish-subtitled movies. Sunday, November 27th and Sunday, December 11th at 5 p.m., Strange World. Sunday, December 4th at 5 p.m., Violent Night. Sunday, December 18th at 5 p.m., Avatar, The Way of Water. Sunday, December 25th at 5 p.m., Puss in Boots. WNPAC donates to local animal shelters. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center hosts Puppy Pals Live from America's Got Talent on November 15th. A portion of the ticket sales were donated to local animal shelters. In total, $924 was raised. $462 was donated to Lone Star Sanctuary for Animals in Midland and Rescuers Without Borders in Goldsmith each. Odessa College Thanksgiving Observance. Odessa College, the Children's Center on the OC Main Campus, and the OC Extension Centers in Andrews, Monahans, and Pecos will be closed from November 23rd through November 27th in observance of the Thanksgiving holiday. The OC Sports Center will be closed November 23rd through November 25th, but will open November 26th and November 27th for regular hours of operation. Classes and normal operations at Odessa College's main campus, the Children's Center, and the Extension Centers will reopen November 28th. For more information, call 335-6416. Rolling Lane Closure. The Texas Department of Transportation issued a traffic alert beginning Tuesday. Midland County, I-20 Bridge Project at Midkiff Road. A rolling lane closure will be in effect Tuesday, November 22nd, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. in the westbound right-hand main lane. The construction team will be making pavement repairs between Midkiff Road and Loop 250. Slow down and watch for slow-moving construction vehicles in this work zone. Texas Rangers investigate officer-involved shooting. The Texas Rangers are investigating the shooting of a 23-year-old Midland man by a Midland police officer. According to a City of Midland news release, officers received a disturbance call from the Why Not location on Briarwood Avenue shortly before 1 a.m. Sunday. During the incident, an officer's weapon was fired and Christopher Hernandez was struck, the release stated. Hernandez was later arrested on suspicion of evading arrest in a motor vehicle. Per protocol, the officer was placed on administrative leave pending investigations by Internal Affairs and the Rangers. Accused Odessan held without bond less than a month after pleading guilty to aggravated sexual assault of a minor and being placed on probation, an Odessa man is back in jail. According to Ector County District Court records, Jerome Keith Mazzone, 29, was accused of sexually assaulting a child younger than 14 two different ways in July 2016. Mazzone pleaded guilty on October 20th, but under the terms of his plea agreement, his guilty plea was to be deferred unless he violated the terms of his 8-year community supervision sentence. On Friday, Assistant Ector County District Attorney Carmen Villalobos asked Judge John Schrode to issue a warrant for Mazzone's arrest and to adjudicate Mazzone guilty. Court documents indicate Villalobos alleged Mazzone violated his probation by possessing or viewing pornography on November 15th. She also said he accessed the internet on November 16th and he owned or operated a device that allowed him to access the internet when he wasn't supposed to. Moreover, she said Mazzone drank malt liquor on November 17th when he was supposed to be abstaining from alcohol. Mazzone was arrested and booked into the Ector County Jail the same day the warrant was issued. He's being held without bond. Man accused of assaulting 12-year-old. A 20-year-old West Odessa man was arrested Saturday after his common law wife told deputies she was awakened by him having sex with a 12-year-old in their bed. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, a West 18th Street resident called 911 around 7:15 a.m. Saturday to report the rape of a child. When deputies arrived, the woman told them after she discovered Marcos Alfonso de Santiago Guarardo having sex with the girl in the same bed she was sleeping in, she tried to intervene and De Santiago Guarardo assaulted her, the report stated. A sexual assault nurse examiner found signs of minor trauma consistent with sexual intercourse in the girl, and the girl told a forensic examiner De Santiago Guarardo was aware of her age, according to the report. Although the girl told the forensic examiner the sex was consensual, the legal age of consent is 17 in Texas. De Santiago Guarardo was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of assault of a child and assault family violence. Bail has been set at $40,000, but Immigration and Customs Enforcement have also issued a hold on him.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading education articles from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. MISD elementary teacher needs help gifting books by Ben Schaefer. Last week, the Midland Chamber of Commerce held its State of Education. The topic was literacy rates in the Permian Basin. This week, another area teacher is asking for reading materials for her students. Mrs. Miller, a pre-K to second grade teacher at Pease Communication and Technology Academy, is seeking funding for each of her 23 students to be gifted their own book. The project expires March 13th, and there is $139 still needed to fully fund it. This could be the book that helps them decide what they want to be when they grow up, or maybe it's just a fun read, Miller's posted. She added that providing books students enjoy reading is a great strategy for teaching them reading skills. Donate online at donorschoose.org/project/myveryownbook/700-3169. MISD School Board Information on Board Members. MISD swears in board members. The board members for this next year of district meetings is Michael Booker, District 1, District 2, Robert Marquez, District 3, Tommy Bishop, District 4, Katie Joyner, District 5, Brandon Hodges, District 6, Sarah Burleson, District 7, Brian Murray. All meetings are scheduled for 5:30 p.m. at Bowie Fine Arts Academy, 805 Elk Avenue, on December 19th, January 17th, February 20th, March 27th, April 17th, May 15th, June 26th, and July 24th. Bynum School gets into Halloween spirit with Trunk or Treat event. On Halloween, Bynum School hosted a Trunk or Treat extravaganza with the help of Midland's Fire and Police Department. We want to offer a fun, safe, trick-or-treating activity for our students, said Carrie St. John, Executive Director of Bynum School. We appreciate the participation of our local fire and law enforcement officers. In keeping with the spooky season, many parents and staff decorated their vehicles for the festivities. Students and staff were decked out in their Halloween costumes as they grabbed goodies from car to car. Our families and staff get very creative when decorating their vehicles, Tracy Bush at Bynum said. The kids see the fire trucks, get their favorite candy, and have a great time. Bynum School student wins Lions Club poster contest. Student Grant Westmoreland was recently recognized for his winning submission to the Midland Northside Lions Club's 34th Annual International Peace Poster Contest. Bynum School had 26 entries, and the top three were selected by a panel of teachers and administrators. The winning posters were selected for their originality, artistic merit, and portrayal of the contest theme, Lead with Compassion. When I think of compassion, I think of a big hug, Westmoreland said. More than 600,000 posters were submitted to the Lions Club International Peace Poster Contest this year. The poster of the first place winner will compete in the district contest. An international prize is awarded at the end of the contest. MCPPDC and Permian Basin STEPS collect food. The Midland College Petroleum Professional Development Center and Permian Basin STEPS, Service Transmission, Exploration, and Production Safety Network, gathered food items for the West Texas Food Bank on November 18th, meeting at the Midland College Scarber Student Center Carrasco Room. Meeting attendees contributed food and monetary donations, and staff from the food bank will be on hand to receive the...
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 21st. Practice food safety this holiday season. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. Is it just me, or does the end of the year always seem to accelerate? Maybe it's the fact that it seems like the Christmas displays go up earlier and earlier every year in stores. I don't know what it is, but this year, especially the last couple months, have just flown by. It's hard to believe it's already Thanksgiving week. With all the food and celebrations coming up, not just for Thanksgiving, but for the rest of the holiday season, I thought it would be a good time to remind people about holiday food safety. With all the data that is tracked these days, You would think there would be statistics on foodborne illnesses related to the holidays. Unfortunately, there is not. What we do know is anecdotal reports of increased foodborne illness from emergency room experts during the holidays. We also know that an estimated 48 million people in the U.S. get foodborne illnesses every year. Of those, 128,000 people are hospitalized and 300 people die. The most common causes of foodborne illness are Salmonella, E. coli, and Listeria. We also know the main course for traditional holiday meals in the U.S., turkey, is a common source of Salmonella contamination and, if not handled properly, can cause foodborne illness. With all of that, it makes sense that food safety during the holidays is something we need to consider. The National Safety Council, the NSC, recommends the following practices for safely handling food during this holiday season. Wash your hands frequently when handling food. Keep raw meat away from fresh produce. Use separate cutting boards, plates, and utensils for uncooked and cooked meats. Use a food thermometer to make sure meat is cooked to a safe temperature. Refrigerate hot or cold leftovers within 2 hours of being served. Cut turkey leftovers into small pieces so it can chill quickly. Leftovers are good for 3 to 4 days if they are properly refrigerated. If you want to keep longer, consider freezing. Turkeys, because they can contain bacteria, do need some considerations when handling. Here are some safety tips from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, for safely handling your holiday bird. Frozen raw turkeys need to be stored at 0 degrees or below until they are ready to thaw. Do not store frozen turkeys in places where the temperature cannot be controlled, like car trunks, basements, outdoor spaces, or in snow. There are 3 safe ways to thaw turkeys. First, you can keep your turkey in its original packaging and put it in a container in the refrigerator. The container is important to keep any turkey juice from dripping on other food in your refrigerator. It will take about 24 hours for each 4 to 5 pounds of turkey to thaw in the refrigerator. Once thawed, the turkey needs to be cooked in 1 to 2 days. A faster method is to thaw your turkey in cold water. Place the turkey in a leak-proof bag. This prevents juices from spreading in the kitchen and also keeps your turkey from absorbing excess water. Cover the turkey with cold water, changing the water every 30 minutes. It takes about 30 minutes per pound to thaw in this way, and you need to cook the turkey immediately after it is thawed. Finally, you can thaw your turkey in the microwave using the microwave manufacturer instructions. Just like with the water thaw, you need to cook microwave thawed turkeys immediately after thawing. Never thaw a turkey at room temperature. If it sits at room temperature for more than 2 hours, it can become a bacterium breeding ground even if it is still partially frozen. Handle turkeys carefully. Again, make sure you are washing your hands and using separate cutting boards. Never wash a turkey. That practice can spread germs. A U.S. Department of Agriculture study found that even after cleaning out the sink, 1 in 7 people who washed their turkeys still had germs that could cause foodborne illness in their sinks. Cook stuffing thoroughly. Cooking dressing separately in another dish is a far safer cooking method. Make sure you cook your turkey to a safe temperature. The CDC recommends at least 165 degrees in 3 places, the thickest part of the breast, where the body and thigh join, and where the body and wing join. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. This has been a tough year, but also a year with much to be grateful for in friends, family, and life. Please stay safe this holiday season.
Hello, this is April, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, November 19, 2022. Viewpoints. City's sales tax structure needs to be modernized. Stuart Doreen, staff columnist. One important lesson from the Hogan Park debate that no one has talked about is the following. The city's mechanism for funding government is broken. Specifically, I am talking about the sales tax distribution. Here is the distribution. 6.25% to the state, 1% to the city, 0.5% to the county, 0.25% to the MDC, and 0.25% to the hospital district. It is time for voters inside the city to stop sending money to county government that isn't being invested inside the city. We need county government to go ahead and pass some type of county assistance tax that will raise more than what the county currently collects with its city sales tax and allow that half cent of city sales tax to be spent inside the city for something like parks. This community should have put a sunset on that county tax when it was created decades ago because a community should be able to readjust when needed. So, Mayor-elect Lori Blong, here is your first item to take care of. Tell the county it is time to release its grip on money that the county won't need after it passes its assistance tax and allow the growth inside the city take place in a most fiscally responsible way. Second, the city and the conservatory should sign an agreement that states once the park is built, the city will cap its yearly maintenance and operations at $2 million. As Jeff Beard noted this week, $2 million is consistent with the money the city has spent on Hogan over the last 10 years. The cap will be a hard one, no consumer price index. Third, the contract will be for 25 years. After 25 years, the city will reevaluate its parks commitments. About that time, the war chest being used to fund the Scarborough Sports Complex should be empty. And at that point, we will need to determine how to fund it all. Again, that is where it would be nice to tap into city sales tax for city issues and not to give the county a mechanism to have one of the lowest tax rates in the state. We are talking about potentially $12 million to $15 million a year per quarter cent. That would fund maintenance and operations at a redeveloped Hogan Park, Scarborough Sports Complex, improve senior center facilities, and even have money left over for longer-term spending if conservancy officials decide on a project around Nueva Vista or the bike trail between Midland and Odessa. Midlanders, this one is pretty simple. If we don't do something about the sales tax structure in the city of Midland, the burden of better roads and infrastructure and better parks will fall exclusively on the property tax owners inside the city. Meanwhile, county government will be flush with cash. More people will leave the city for the county because of the artificially low property tax rates, and city leaders will continue to bicker about the type of community we want. We shouldn't have to fight about our quality of place inside the city, which county residents also get to enjoy, because community leaders made a decision decades ago about how the city's sales tax should be structured. I'm not sure if it was wrong then, but it definitely is wrong now, and residents inside the city should insist on change.
Permian Basin Calendar. Here is a listing of upcoming and continuing events in the Permian Basin. Have an event? Email oalife@oaoa.com. OA Customer Service. On Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday, the Odessa American Business offices will be closed, but customer service will be open from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. both days. Call 412-337-3000. 73:14. Season of Warmth. Jesus House, Odessa, 1335 East 6th Street, will present a free Mexican-themed meal for anyone from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. November 23rd. As well, homeless may come and receive their winter wear for the season. Visit tinyurl.com/YCY5PNJJ. Midland Turkey Trot, Midland County Greater Works, has scheduled the 11th annual Turkey Trot at 7:30 a.m. November 24th at Memorial Stadium, 2001 West Cuthbert Avenue, Midland. General admission tickets start at $20 for a 5K run. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit MidlandTurkeyTrot.com. Free Thanksgiving Dinner, Curbside Bistro, Fadul, Cliff Hardy, and Conway PC will be offering free Thanksgiving dinner starting at 11 a.m. November 24th at Curbside Bistro, 3816 Andrews Highway. Drive-through only, no questions asked. Free to anyone in need and all first responders. Visit tinyurl.com/2BWYRDW8. Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market. Parks Legato Town Center, 7260 East Highway 191, has scheduled the Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., November 25th and 26th, and December 3rd from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. December 2nd, and from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. November 27th and December 4th. There will be fresh Christmas trees, wreaths, and garlands, plus free hot chocolate and more. Admission is free. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/BDH9DPJ9. A Christmas Carol, the Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley Avenue, Midland, will present A Christmas Carol at 7:30 p.m. November 25th through 27th, December 2nd and 3rd, December 9th and 10th, and December 16th and 17th. The beloved holiday story of Ebenezer Scrooge, an elderly miser who is visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley, who warns him that he must change his selfish ways or be fated to spend eternity in chains. Tickets purchases open November 14th for MCT members and November 21st for non-members. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2S3UZ5MA. Grupo Arriesgado, La Hacienda Event Center, 12600 Highway 191, Midland, will present Grupo Arriesgado at 8 p.m. November 25th. Visit tinyurl.com/MURZTZP4. El Chulo Club 305-620 North Grandview Avenue will present El Chulo from 8 p.m. to 2 p.m. November 25th. Tickets start at $75. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/3SU2PVXT. Fourth Annual Midland Shop Hop. Perch, Bird Box Gifts, and Posh Pony Boutique will present the 4th Annual Midland Shop Hop from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. November 26, starting from Perch Home Decor, 2040 West Cuthbert Avenue, Midland. Visit tinyurl.com/4FDXCKFV. Gun Shows. West Texas Gun Shows will present a gun show from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. November 26th and 27th at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. The event organizers are seeking vendors for anything related to firearms, gold and silver, memorabilia, and trading cards. Admission is free. Vendor tables are $60. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/5H5E52 7T or call 432-530-7036 to reserve a table. Advent Wreath Party, the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, 1412 West Illinois Avenue, Midland, has scheduled an Advent Wreath Party at 11:45 a.m. November 27th. Enter from the blue doors facing Ohio Street. As Illinois Avenue is under construction, visit tinyurl.com/23BBJ68N. Christmas Play Practice, Bethany Christian Church, 4522 North Everglade Avenue, will present practice sessions for their Christmas play at 2:30 p.m. November 27th and December 4th. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/4EZUB4VH. Favorite Things Christmas Market. The Scout Guide, West Texas, has scheduled a Christmas market event from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. November 28th at the Museum of the Southwest, 1705 West Missouri Avenue, Midland. There will be Christmas carolers, light bites, and lots of shopping. Tickets cost $50, or you can receive a $25 discount by donating a toy for local children. Visit tinyurl.com/3DHBMXPS. POG DC, Odessa, Pride Center, West Texas, 700 North Grant Avenue, will present a POG DC event from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., November 28th and December 26th. POG DC is a support group for parents of transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming youth. Visit tinyurl.com/2YZVDZ5J. Neighborhood Watch Meeting. The Odessa Police Department will present a Neighborhood Watch Meeting at 7 p.m. November 29th at the OPD Classroom, 205 North Grant Avenue. This month's topic is Impaired Driving Prevention. There will be a presentation from MCH featuring two mothers sharing their stories. An MCAC presentation on alcohol and drug abuse prevention and intervention, and an OPD presentation on traffic safety. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/BDHJSBKE. WTFB Pantry Hours. West Texas Food Bank has scheduled food assistance times from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., Wednesdays at the Odessa Pantry, 411 South Pagewood Avenue, and from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Thursdays at the Midland Pantry, 1601 West Cliff Drive, Midland. Visit wtxfoodbank.org/help. English classes, Second Baptist Odessa, 711 East 17th Street, has scheduled classes in English as a second language at 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays. Classes are free and child care is available. Call 432-366-2153 or visit tinyurl.com/4EKTCJK6. Line Dancing Class. Mission Fitness, 8050 East Highway 191, has scheduled a line dancing class at 6:50 p.m. Wednesdays. Registration is not required. Admission is free. People of all skill levels are welcome. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/Y4D9Y33R. Shane and Shane Christmas Tour. Mid-Cities Church, 8700 Highway 191, will present Shane and Shane at 7 p.m. November 30th. Tickets are $20. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/MUBKJ5SM. Starlight Village and Tree Lighting Ceremony. The 2022 Community Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony, presented by First Basin Credit Union, kicks off Starbright Village and the lighting of the official community Christmas tree December 1st. The broadcast ceremony starts at 6:30 p.m. on News West 9. Local school choirs will be there to perform. Only the walking trail will be open December 1st. The drive-through viewing will begin December 2nd. Starbright Village will be open from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. through January 1st, 2023 at McKinney Park, 625 West Pool Road. More than 300,000 lights and holiday-themed displays will be displayed. Visit tinyurl.com/2kv4kbdc. Admission is free, but donations are welcome to help keep this event free and add new displays for next year. For more information about Starbright Village and the Community Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony, or how to become a sponsor for this event, visit tinyurl.com/y6fk5tkn. Sky Gallery Exhibit. The Sky Gallery exhibit by Kate Brakey and Brett Starr will be on display through December 2nd in the Odessa College Phillips Goff Gallery at Sedate Hall. The gallery is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Friday. Call 432-335-6490 or email bphillips@odessa.edu or visit odessa.edu. OCFC Girls Night Out, Odessa Christian Faith Center, 9000 Andrews Highway, will present a Flourish Fiesta event on December 2nd. The doors will open at 5 p.m. for shopping, with a service beginning at 7 p.m. and more shopping following the service. Vendor spaces are available. For more information, call Mary K. Wood at 432-368-7714. Email Mary K. Wood at ocfc.org or visit ocfc.org. Gingerbread Lane Santa Pictures. Beaton Bow Homes has scheduled free Santa photos at 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. December 2nd at the Odessa New Home Center, 1201 87th Street. There will be hot cocoa and treats, cookie decorating, Christmas music, and family photos. Visit tinyurl.com/YEWB8YXC. Fifth Annual Cookie Swap. First Odessa, 311 West 8th Street, will present the 5th Annual Cookie Swap at 6 p.m. December 2nd. There will be dinner, cookies, plus a great Christmas movie complete with popcorn. Tickets are $15 and go on sale at the church office starting November 6th. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/BDF9EYEX. Cast your vote for region charities. Permian Basin residents can help their favorite charities secure rewards ranging from $7,000 to $500 by participating in the Community Rewards Program sponsored by Citibank. Citibank will make available a total of $60,000 to be awarded to 30 nonprofits to assist them in carrying out their mission of hope and service to people in need. Charities are grouped by category. Vote for one agency from the full list at tinyurl.com/2p8st44m. Must be 18 to vote. Voting will end 8 p.m. December 2nd, and winners will be announced December 8th. For more information on registering your organization for the next Community Rewards, contact Michelle Haugland at marketing@city.bank. Walk with the Doc. Texas Tech Physicians Family Medicine has scheduled Walk with the Doc at 9 a.m. the first Saturday of the month at UTPB Walking Trail, 4909 East University Boulevard, next to Ellen Noel Museum. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, call 432-703-5200, email ttuhscpbfm@ttuhsc.edu or visit walkwithadoc.org. Christmas Market. Ruffles and Rust Expo will present a Christmas market from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. December 3rd at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. There will be local vendors, crafts, and food. Admission is $5 at the door. Visit tinyurl.com/mpc4zy5f. Jingle for Jevon Toy Drive, Lower Society, and Select Off-Road will present the 5th Annual Jingle for Jevon Toy Drive from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. December 3rd at the Target parking lot, 3909 East 42nd Street. All toys must be new and unwrapped. visit tinyurl.com/2PUB4WS3. Brunch, Bubbles, and Boutiques, Rooster's Backyard, 6201 FM 301 Midland, will present a Christmas brunch and shopping event from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. December 3rd. There will be live music, a hot chocolate bar, over 10 local vendors, and more. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/AS38972X. Parade of Light Festivities. Downtown Odessa Incorporated and the City of Odessa will present the annual Parade of Lights festivities December 3rd. Their Parade of Lights market will take place from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Texas Avenue from 3rd to 5th Streets. There will be inflatables, vendors, and more. Children may also drop off letters to Santa and take a free picture with Santa from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Copper Rose Building, 415 North Grant Avenue. The Parade of Lights will start at 6:30 p.m. at the intersection of 23rd Street and Andrews Highway and continue south, taking a right at 3rd Street. Registration for the event has begun, and slots are limited to 175 organization entries. For more information or to register, visit tinyurl.com/YCKM-6MEA. Jingle Bell Run. The City of Odessa will present a 5K Jingle Bell Run December 3rd, starting from the Odessa College Dietrich Hall South parking lot, 2525 Andrews Highway. Registration starts at 4:30 p.m. and the run starts at 5:15 p.m. Race route is down and back to make it a true 5K. Course must be clear by 6:15 due to the parade. Participants must wear lights because it will be dark. No Santa costumes are allowed. Registration is $40. For more information or to pre-register, visit tinyurl.com/4F6Z7C8P. Midland Jingle Bell Run. Midland Athletic Company will present the Nighttime Jingle Bell Run benefiting Junior Achievement December 3rd at Scarborough Elementary School, 2115 Hereford Boulevard, Midland. The 1.5K race will begin at 5:45 p.m. and the 5K race will begin at 6:10 p.m. Strollers and pets on a leash are allowed. The cost is $15 per person for the 1.5K race and $30 per person for the 5K race. For more information or to sign up, visit tinyurl.com/4496KEY9. Christmas Tour of Homes. The Odessa Board of Realtors has scheduled a Christmas Tour of Homes event from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. December 4th, going through 6 mansions, Oak Drive, 46 San Clemente Circle, 6113 Nevada Avenue, and 16 Mission Santiago Drive. There will be a party tour bus with complimentary drinks and cookies for ticket holders. Cost is $10. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/2P86RBUN. Poinsettia Sale. The Ector County ISD Horticulture Program's Poinsettia Sale will take place December 5th through 15th at the ECISD Agriculture Farms, 7649 West Dunn Street. The price range will be $5 for small plants and $10 for the larger ones. Visit tinyurl.com/3AUAN6VM. The Junior League of Odessa will present Christmas carriage rides at 6:30 p.m. December 7th through 10th and December 12th through 14th in the Emerald Forest Subdivision, Shiloh Road. There will be horse-drawn carriage rides through the beautifully lit and decorated Emerald Forest Subdivision. Tickets start at $150 for a four-person private carriage. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/36NRRHW7. Boogie boarding is okay after knee surgery. Dear Dr. Roach, I have arthritis in both knees, but otherwise I'm in good health. I'm 5'6 and weigh 130 pounds. My Fitbit indicates I get about 9,000 steps per day. I am ready for knee replacement, but I'm concerned about one activity I do. I usually spend 2 consecutive weeks at the beach, and I love to boogie board. When the tide is strong, it can take a lot of effort to get out to where the waves are. Will I still be able to do this after knee surgery? I only do this activity during those 2 weeks. I live in Ohio, so I am not sure that doctors here understand beach life. BH. Answer: in general, people may expect to return to most activities after knee replacement surgery. Prosthetic knees are very sturdy, but there are still some activities that are generally not recommended after a knee replacement, and these are ones that can cause high impact to the knee. It's not the degree of effort, it's avoiding sudden trauma to the new knee. Repetitive high impact activities such as running are not good for people with prosthetic knees. Activities where very high impact is likely, like football, hockey, and rock climbing, are not recommended. By contrast, walking, hiking, swimming, and cycling are recommended to do after surgery. The most expert opinion I found on surfing advised that surfing is considered okay after a knee replacement, and I found many testimonials by surfers who have done well after surgery. However, I would ask you to have some common sense and avoid dangerous conditions such as waves that should only be attempted by experts. Since you only surf 2 weeks out of the year, I'd strongly urge you to do as much strength and stamina building exercise prior to your water adventures. I give the same advice to my patients who are passionate about skiing. When you are there, start slow and make sure your muscles are up to the task.
This is the Dear Abby column. Relationship with boyfriend is now a dangerous nightmare. Dear Abby, I am in a relationship I can't get out of. I was told by my boyfriend that what he's doing is normal. He says it's what people who love each other do, and he loves me more than anyone has ever loved me. I have told him repeatedly that I don't love him. He drives by my house and follows me to work. He has also watched to make sure I'm going where I said, like to the gym and the store. He tells me that every man wants to have sex with me and that I dress too sexy. I mostly wear leggings and tank tops. He has monitored Zoom meetings that I go to. All of the watching and following is without my permission or knowledge. He usually tells me about it later, saying he only does it out of love. This has been going on for a few years. Why do I put up with it? I have tried to break up. It started after a few months together, but he guilted me into staying, saying he'd be all alone, or he'd kill himself. Then I found out he filmed us having sex a few times, and he's threatening that if I don't stay, people will see it. Please tell me what to do. I have no self-esteem left, and yes, I feel like the slut that I am made out to be. I'm not sure what you can do to help me. I have no one to talk to. Signed, Anonymous Prisoner. Dear Prisoner, this person doesn't love you. Your boyfriend is an abuser, a stalker, and an extortionist. You are right that you need someone to talk to. Actually, I can think of more than one. Pick up the phone and call 800-799-7233. It's the toll-free number of the National Domestic Violence Hotline. A counselor there will be happy to offer suggestions on how to deal with your abuser. During the conversation, ask whether his threat to make the sex tape public should be reported to the police. I think it should be. P.S. And please stop feeling guilty. If you are worried that he might kill himself if you end the relationship, don't be. He has no intention of following through. Dear Abby, our son died suddenly a month ago. It was a terrible shock. That same day, his mother, my wife, announced, "We are done as a couple. We've been married 41 years, but our relationship has always been rocky. She hasn't spoken to me since then. I have two areas of deep grief and no one to talk with to share the agony of losing a son and a marriage simultaneously. Family members and close friends have been sympathetic, but most don't know what to say. Any advice would be welcomed." Signed, Mourning in Tennessee. "Dear Mourning, please accept my deepest sympathy for the death of your son. Because you have no one to confide in, it's important that you start talking with a grief counselor about the double loss you have experienced. It will take time to work through the sadness you are feeling in the aftermath of your son's passing. While no one can blame you for your anger at your wife for her poor timing, once your sadness lessens, you may realize how fortunate you are to be finally freed from a 41-year unhappy marriage. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.